Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House. And I'm an old man, Carlo.
I just did the same.
Sometimes I have twinges and stuff. It just happens, you know. Shoulders bother me. I don't know why. I don't know what I did. I slept on it one way, and now I'll never walk again. Something like that.
Okay.
You know, that's just part of growing up. You'll learn.
I guess I'll learn.
Wherever you are, thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. We appreciate you guys out there, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, it's real easy. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, get it delivered right to your door. Mother's Day is not far. We're talking it's less than a week now, basically. You got to get the shipping done. Get it done. strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef.
It is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's National Grilling Month, which is news to me because I grill every month. There will never be a calendar month where I go without grilling. It doesn't happen. It's never too hot. It's never too cold. That's the beauty of living here in the South, I guess. But if you're cooking out this weekend, make beef the star of the show. Nobody's mad when you have the cookout and they're like, what's on the menu? Oh, we're having steak. No one ever says, oh.
Steak.
You know,
ew.
You go in there and you're like, what are we having? I got a grilled tofu dish. Oh. Nobody wants that.
Oh.
Nobody wants that. I'm grilling some octopus. Oh.
I'm surprised you don't like that. You guys eat everything down here.
I do like grilled octopus. That's not really a Southern thing, though. That's more of like an Asian thing.
Okay.
So
I was just kind of going to the fact that
I do like it, though.
There's no animal on the planet.
I told my wife the alligator story the other day. I'm still mad that I had alligator sausage and didn't get you to eat it at the in the lounge.
I'm not mad about it.
Well, you would have been. It's really good. But that being said, steak can be the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Again, Mother's Day is coming up, so there's two locations in the Jackson area for you to shop in if you're looking for maroon and white, or honestly, if you're looking for some red and blue. I won't hold it against you. Mom's mom, doesn't matter who she's cheering for. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Fold by the Half Shell, or shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Bankers that treat you with respect. Bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Brooks Brian will join us in just a few minutes, as will Coach Brian O'Connor have his interview from today's Sports Talk Mississippi. But here's what I wanted to get into. And at this point in the season, a team just kind of is what it is. And so I mentioned yesterday, I said, I think this team can be a team that gets out of the regional. I just don't know about the super regional. I don't know if when you get into a three-game series with a top 16 team, how this team would do. So it got me to looking. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. But when you really break it down, It's not state's record against what we'll call good teams is not great. And I use the D1 baseball field of 64 projections from last week. Now, state's record against teams in that projection is 11-11. However, they have Vanderbilt in as the 3 seed currently. Vanderbilt was swept this past weekend, so my guess is Vanderbilt will not be in because they were in the last 4 in. Vanderbilt will not be in this week's projections. However, there's another layer to this. Vandy's last 6 conference games are at Missouri and then at home against South Carolina. Great chance the Commodores are going to finish 6-0. They would be 16-14 in the conference you're getting in. No 16-win team in SEC play has ever been left out of the NCAA tournament. So they're going to get in. Honestly, they'll get in if they win four out of the – they might get in with four. Their RPI is very low.
You
but
think they'd get in at 14 and 16?
No, I don't think a 14-win team has ever been left out.
Wow. Okay.
So that's just kind of where we are with that. So State's 11 and 11. However, the 11 wins, Arizona State.
Good win, though.
It's a good win. Arizona State was currently listed as the 2 seed in the Austin Regional. So they're a top 32 team. They have a win over Southern Miss, obviously.
Four.
I'm getting to that. 3 against Vanderbilt in this scenario. 1 against Arkansas. 1 against Texas. And then, as you just said, 4 against Ole Miss. Those 4 wins, as I mentioned yesterday, they are doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Oh, yeah.
For Mississippi State's postseason resume. But swept by Georgia. Swept by we'll just call it an average Tennessee team at best. Lost 2 out of 3 to Texas. Lost 2 out of 3 to Arkansas. And, of course, the loss to UCLA is the other one, which is, you know, if you want to play that game, probably should have won that game. You know,
imagine if they got that.
I think the season would be a little different. Like, yeah. I think it would have given them a boost. They would have been the number one team in the nation.
And they were right there.
Well, I mean, if you had ABS, you win the game.
Winston's double stays in, or they call that strike.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
well, the strike is the difference. If you have ABS, if you could have tapped the helmet there, you would have.
Major League Stadium too.
Yeah, they had the technology. They had the technology. It's just not part of the game. So that's why I feel very confident that if we talk about the Starkville Regional, and you know, I've got it pulled up here, the Starkville Regional for this one. I'll be honest with you. Little concerning because Oregon is the 2 seed.
Mm.
That's a good baseball team. Yes. That is a team that could come to Starkville and win. You know, if I would rather see, you know, Florida in this one has the 14 seed. Again, that's a team that didn't have they what did they do this weekend? They took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma, so they're probably okay. They have West Virginia. I would much rather see West Virginia than Oregon. Lincoln's probably not going to have a regional now if they lost 2 out of 3 to Ohio State.
Yeah.
They had Arkansas, who you can't have. Ole Miss was getting Southern California. I'd almost rather see Southern Cal than Oregon.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, of course, again, I don't know. I saw Mark Etheridge yesterday from D1 Baseball said he thought Ole Miss had to finish 4-2 to host. That's going to be a tough stretch for the Rebels.
I mean, they have 2 hard series, too.
They do. They have A&M and Alabama, right?
A&M and Alabama.
Yeah. And A&M's on the road, I believe.
No, it's the other way around. Alabama.
Alabama's on the road. Okay. Alabama-Ole Miss could be a loser-lose-town match for a host spot, which, as Mississippi State-Auburn, feels like a loser-lose-town for the Super Regional spot. But they're, I'll be honest with you, the fact that they had 11 wins, now Vandy is kind of floating that a little bit, right? It was before I looked at it, I had it 8-11, then I saw that Vanderbilt was in here. I was like, what? But then that was last week. But 7 of the wins are Vandy and Ole Miss. You got handled pretty easily in the 2 losses at Texas. Arkansas, you didn't play particularly well up there. The Georgia is Georgia. That's a really good baseball team. You probably should have gotten 1 game, but whatever. The Tennessee one is the one that stands
out. It's the weird one. Now, I'll say, Brian, I'll counter that. I mean, you got to remember, they got walked off at Arkansas. And they definitely could have won Sunday's game against Texas, but, yeah, I mean, we already talked about the 3rd inning, whatever the heck that was. So, I mean, those are 2 games that I'm sure they would love to have back with that UCLA one as well. But, yeah, Tennessee's the weird one because they're losing to a lot of these good teams, UCLA, Georgia, who's number 1 in the conference. I mean, Arkansas, first series for Brian O'Connor ever as a SEC head coach. There's a lot of things, but then the Tennessee one's just weird because it wasn't like – I mean, they lost a couple of close games, especially that Sunday one where Ace was about 2 feet from walking that thing off.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not a – I mean, are they a bubble team? They're in right now, but not feeling great?
Tennessee's in. They're in pretty safely, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, their RPI is
3?
Possibly. Tennessee currently is 34 in the RPI, so they're going to be a 2 in
a tough regional.
A tough regional, which you got to remember, you can't pair conference team and regional.
Teams, yes.
So They would be like the two, maybe at UCLA,
Oof.
maybe at Georgia Tech, maybe at North Carolina. That would make a lot of sense to send them to North Carolina.
They wouldn't get
They're
out.
probably not getting out of that.
No.
But yeah, the Tennessee series is,
The weird one.
well, it's the difference in being confident that you're going to host a super regional and needing to win games that you're going to host a super regional. If State had won that series as just on paper, and you don't play on paper, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Tennessee. They came in here and beat the hell out of Mississippi State.
Yeah.
There's no taking that away from them. But if State wins that series, instead of being 14 and 10, you're 16 and
Said at least
seven.
one,
You're
yeah.
16 and 8. And so you're what, two games out of first in the SEC. You're for sure going to host a super regional. State didn't take care of its business there. You can forgive every other loss on the schedule, but those three killed State's. They didn't kill State's chances because they're still alive, but they put them on the
It
ropes.
put them on the ropes where they had to get two sweeps to get back into the
Right.
discussion.
Right. And they were very lucky they had the two sweeps the 2 weeks prior.
I mean, especially because that, I mean, a couple of those South Carolina games were
Where
like you're talking about.
well, I mean, the whole LSU series was
Yeah, I was
close.
gonna say LSU Friday, they walk it off in the 10th. I mean, they come back in every
This
game.
team is good. It's not. There are moments of greatness. I'll say that. It's not an elite team. That said, when they play their best, if you can get 1 through 9 clicking, and you can go out there and get 7 innings or 6 innings out of Valinkas and then Bauer and then Davis or Webb, everybody's pitching their best. They can beat anybody. This is a team that if everything were to click, could win the national title. And at the same time, it's a team that if it doesn't click, they could get put out in their own regional.
I go back to that Sunday game against Vanderbilt, if you remember. It was a run rule. I
That
mean,
was the maybe the
that
best game they played all year.
100%. I mean, that's what they are at their peak, guys hitting home runs, doubles, two run, three run shots, ending the game early. I
The
mean,
two best games that State's
yeah.
played this year are that one and the Saturday game at Ole Miss. Valinkas totally
Oh,
dominated
yeah.
that Ole Miss lineup. They never had a chance. State was good enough in the hitting. They scored 6 runs. That's probably up there. And then maybe the game against Arizona State. They were really good in that game. Virginia Tech is a team we may be able to add them. They are having a decent season. Virginia Tech is currently in
I
the.
totally forgot they played them.
Yeah, where are they right now? I saw them earlier.
We talked about them.
Well, they're 36th in the RPI right now. That's probably good enough. They're 13 and 14 in the ACC. That's probably going to be good enough to get them. There'll be a 3 seed somewhere. Their strength of schedule is 6. They're obviously helped a lot. Having a non-conference games with Texas A&M and Mississippi State and Tennessee is helping them a lot. But they're a weird team. They have four quad four losses.
Ew.
I don't know if they'll get in or not. It's an interesting resume they have. They don't have a ton of great wins, and they have some
We talked about
bad
how
losses.
Ole Miss is kind of carrying their RPI, but I mean the midweeks too. They've
That's the other side of the
only
coin.
lost one to
You lost.
Southern Miss
You
and
yeah.
Hattiesburg and
You
every other
lost a
one.
road game to the number. Where is Southern Miss now?
I think
Number
they're
11
yeah.
RPI team. That
I
doesn't
mean
hurt you.
that's a wash, yeah.
So there's two sides to why State is where they are in the RPI. They have 9 quad one wins. Now 4 of those are Ole Miss, and what are the other 3? Arizona State is probably one.
Arkansas
Arkansas
and
and
Texas.
Texas and Arizona State
Yeah.
are probably right there. And then they don't have any bad losses. So they're only of the top State is currently 9th. In the top 10 of RPI, there are only two teams that are undefeated, quad three and quad four, Mississippi State and Auburn. The difference is Auburn has only played 14 total games, quad three, quad four. Mississippi State has played 22. And that's something that Brian O'Connor and his staff have really got to look into next year of you got to cut some of these SWAC games, some of these sub 150. If you're Mississippi State, you got to feel pretty good about winning a game between for anyone between like 50 and 125. Play those teams. Don't play these 2-4. I mean, they play Alcorn.
305.
Alcorn's 305. That's it. Doesn't matter if you win 100-0.
You have everything to lose and nothing to
It
gain.
well, you have nothing to gain. Period. You cannot, you could beat them to the point where they're like, we are going to give up the sport of baseball. That's how bad this game was. And you still are going to lose points on your RPI. So that's something that I think O'Connor really has to address. You've got to find, you should be playing 22, 14 non or quad four games. That's too many.
Yeah.
It's too many. I understand, you know, I mean, and State's not the worst defender on this. A&M's played 16 of these kind of games.
Georgia's got to be up there
North
too.
Carolina's played 15. Georgia has played 19 quad four games. They're 18-1. They do have a quad four loss.
Oh, jeez.
You know, Jacksonville State has played 23, but Jacksonville State is in Conference USA. They can't help it. So it's not that the State's the worst defender of this, but imagine if State, instead of having 14, being 14-0, was 11-0, and instead they were 8-3 quad two, because they found some better wins. Remember, they played a road game at a team like what's somebody nearby here? Troy. Troy is 67 in the RPI.
Didn't they play them this
They played
year?
them at home.
Yeah.
But if they had played a road game at Troy, they're probably winning that game, but that's a quad two win. If they had played a quad two game at, trying to find some things, are
Memphis?
UAB. They played UAB at home. If they had done a home and home with them, that would be another quad two win. And so if you were, instead of being 5-3 in quad two, you were 8-3 in quad two. Instead of being ninth right now, you're probably fifth, sixth, and you're just in a spot where you're
Feeling
like,
better about
you
Super
feel a
League
little bit
though.
better. So I don't know if this team is good enough to win two out of three games against a top 16 team. So, I mean, if you just look at the top 16, there's obviously some outliers, right? Because if it was Southern Miss, I would feel fine. Like they can, especially if they're playing at home,
Yeah,
they're going to win two out of
I
three.
agree.
If it was Ole Miss, I'd feel fine, right?
Yeah.
But you look at teams that you could be paired up with. If State has to go to North Carolina, I don't feel great about that. Georgia Tech, I wouldn't feel great.
No.
Texas, obviously, I wouldn't feel great.
No.
At Auburn, I don't feel great about Auburn this weekend in Starkville, so I don't know. I definitely wouldn't feel great on the
I'm
road.
saying this series
Yeah.
this weekend is going to be harder than people think.
Kansas, Oregon State, Coastal even. Coastal would be tough. I think State could win
I
that
think they
series,
could get out of that one.
but it would be tough. So I don't know. I look at this team. They're, I said 11-11. And granted, we've talked about it this year. Like they've cost themselves some of those wins. They could easily have two or three more wins, and we would be talking about this team totally differently. That's the thing about baseball is there's so many games, and if one or two go a different way, you just are where
Whole
you
different
are.
year.
So let's get some more thoughts on this baseball team. Let's talk to Brooks Bryan. He's going to join us right now, as he does every week. He's going to join us more than once this week as well. So looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and get his comments on this weekend and his thoughts on this team as a whole. As he does every week, former Diamond Dog Brooks Bryan joins us now. And Brooks, my first question is not the most pleasant one. We all watched yesterday as Mississippi State, you know, with a 5-0 lead and looking like they were in pretty good shape, the game just completely unraveled on them there in the third inning. They give up 9 runs. I think it was 8 runs before they even got an out. Just not a great performance as a player. And I don't know how many of those moments you guys had. None come to mind, but I'm sure you've had at least one time where it was just unraveling around you and there's nothing you can do. What's going through your head?
Try to get an out. I mean that's the hardest thing to do. And I know everybody talks about the last three outs of a baseball game is the hardest three to get, and that's true. But when something like what happened in the third inning happens, the first out of that inning is the hardest thing to get. You know, when you're walking people and then the momentum turns and they start getting hits, you know, they get a hit off of the end of the bat, and then they have two or three hard hits down the line. It just kind of keeps compounding, kind of like a snowball effect. And you're just trying to find the first out, and you feel like if you get the first out, then things can settle down. And that's what I thought would happen. And I know some people think that he left Foster in there too long, in which 4 walks in a row to lead off the inning's tough. But he went 3-2 on several of the batters. And I mean, if you look at the end of the game, you know, from the sixth inning on, who we had to pitch, it was two guys that haven't pitched since February. And
Yeah.
going into the game, he knew that, man, they had to get 4 or 5 innings out of Charlie, and they had to give him a chance to try to figure it out. Because when he does figure it out, he's pretty good. And he's done it the last 2 weekends he struggled, but then for the 2 weekends before that he did pretty well. So you had to try to get him, and not having Webb and not having Ben Davis, basically neither one for this weekend. They both pitched the day before and didn't really do anything. I don't know if it was being tired from last week, and I know Ben Davis had a little strain in the back, but that really hurt us not having two guys that normally pitch, 2 or 3 innings a weekend.
I didn't even know Braden Booth was still on the travel roster. And to see him come in the game, I was like, are you kidding? That's where they were. The other question I have, and this is just somebody who didn't play baseball asking somebody who did a question, but you walk a couple of guys, you just need to get an out, like you said there. Is there a part of the mind that says, I'm gonna throw a strike here, I'm gonna take something off, I'm gonna throw a hittable pitch, and just to make them put the ball in play, give them a situation where they're gonna have to swing the bat. Make them put the ball in play. And if it goes out of the yard, it just goes out of the yard, and I'm probably coming out of the game anyway. Is that mindset ever there? Just like, I'm going to give them a pitch to hit here so we can at least try to make contact and maybe we can just get an out.
Yeah, and I know Charlie, I'm sure, thought the same thing. Because once he walked the first two guys, you could tell he started aiming. He was just trying to take something off, and he started aiming, and his fastballs were high. And that's where I get that aiming part. Usually, when you aim, to me, it's either kind of up and away high, arm side, or either you just jerk it across and you go down and in. And he was just leaving everything high. And even Parker knew that, it looked like, to where he even called some off-speed pitches because he knew Charlie was struggling throwing the fastball for strikes. So he was, even calling 2-0 or 3-1 breaking balls to see if there was just something he could find that Charlie had the release point on. And it just got in Charlie's head, and I think he did what, kind of what you were mentioning, but he got to aiming it, and it just he just couldn't find it after that. And then even Gleason struggled after that too, to try to find to find try to find the strike zone.
I think we can all agree that one of the biggest moments of the game was that Ace Reese strikeout to end the sixth. When you're a batter and they kind of, I mean, there were a few generous calls that day, I'll say. When you're a batter and you're going through something like that, what do you think was going through Ace's mind when it was, I believe it was a 3-2 right there as well. What do you think was going through Ace's mind? And I mean, O'Connor was pretty not happy after that as well.
Ace did a good job of controlling, not showing too much emotion and not getting in an argument with the umpire, but it was very clearly a ball with it being a fastball and it was way down and in. If it's a curveball, I think the umpire could state the fact of, hey, it kind of caught the corner on its way down, but with it being a fastball, it wasn't even close. And that's the first time I've seen O'Connor get animated like that. And that was good to see that he was taking up for Reese, because Reese did a great job of not getting animated. But yeah, that was a big turning point in the game, or a big spot in the game. I'm not going to say turning point. It was a big spot. And there was a couple of other spots, and I don't know if it'll come up or not, but one guy that we've got to try to get going again that really struggled this weekend was Noah Sullivan, where,
Rough weekend for him.
man, he took a lot of pitches down the middle, whether they were fastball, curveball, changeups. I mean, one at bat, he took fastball down the middle to get to 0-1. Then he took breaking ball pretty much center cut for 0-2. So I'm like, well, if he's looking breaking ball first pitch, why is he not looking for it second pitch? And then he took fastball inside corner for strike three. It's just like he's really, really guessing a lot right now. It looks like when he guesses right, a lot of fastballs, this center cut, he's fouling right straight back. And every at bat, you're usually going to get one good pitch to hit most of the time, and you can't miss it. And right now, when he is swinging, he's fouling some good pitches straight back. And hopefully, he can get that figured out this week and get back his timing.
So 7 games left in the regular season, then you'll go to the SEC tournament. A team kind of just is what it is at this point in the year. Whatever strengths and weaknesses they have, they're just going to have them the rest of the way. Can teams improve this late in the season? Is there something that you remember from 97, 98 where something was a problem for 8, 9, 10 weeks, and then it did, I don't know if miraculously is the right word, but it just you were able to get a hold of it?
I think you can improve on a few little things. You know, your defense can get better. You can make better contact. That was kind of the struggle this weekend, was just making contact with, I think we had 40 something strikeouts in three
That's
games, 19 in the first one, in which, man, that pitcher, the pitcher Friday night was really good.
It'll be a first rounder, yeah.
But I mean, we swung at, I think out of the 19 strikeouts, 12 of them we struck out strike three on pitches that were balls, just curveballs down. So I don't know if it was, I really don't understand, you know, if it was maybe they just weren't picking up the spin real well. It was, he threw a lot of breaking balls over the top, in which maybe we hadn't seen a lot of that, but from what I've seen so far, we struggle against left-handed pitching. And they had two really good ones this weekend. Yesterday's guy, after the first inning, he settled in really good. I think his first seven outs were all strikeouts. And we've got to figure out a way to, you know, I don't know if that's facing some lefties during the week or something, just in BP, just to try to see it from that side. But we've got to do a little something different. But to kind of get back to your question, Brian, I don't think there can be a lot of big changes. There can just be a few little changes, and then just hope you get hot at the right time.
Brooks, we talked about this yesterday on this podcast. This felt like the first weekend where the team really missed a guy like Ryan McPherson, who hasn't played, but the bullpen's been, pretty good for the remainder of the year. But this is the first weekend. I mean, we talked about we had two guys throw the end zones in February. A lot of people are questioning whether Charlie Foster should stay in that Sunday spot. If McPherson can't come back for this series against Auburn, what do you think the solution is there? Do you leave him in, or do you put another guy out there?
So here's the thing for me. We've tried Foster out of the pen, and I don't think he's good out of the pen. I think he's better starting, but I think you've got to have a really short leash, in which several other games he's pitched when he struggled, we had a really short leash and got it, and he didn't go like into the third and walk four straight. We would have taken him out. Let's say that would have been a Friday night game like he had pitched in before. If he walks two, I think, in that third inning, we probably get him out. But I just think the coaching staff knew yesterday that, man, we've got to try to let him figure it out. But probably change this weekend. I would probably go with, you know, if you go with Jack Bauer, that takes him out of the bullpen. That takes a lefty out of the bullpen. Maybe you say, okay, well, Charlie, basically you just flip-flop him. But Jack, you know, he's only going to give you, you know, I mean, we've seen him go three innings one time, and that was, he got tired, you know, when he threw 60 pitches last weekend, I think. And so, you know, basically you're hoping for about three innings out of him. If you go Miller, you know, you could see Miller starting. So I would say maybe one of the two, if you do take Charlie out, would maybe be Miller or Bauer. But I could also see Brandon Sweeney. They may try to go Brandon Sweeney.
Would you do that for Thursday and keep Tico on Friday, so try not to mess with his schedule, or do you want to move everybody up and you got a new pitcher on Saturday?
I would say move everybody up, but the two reasons I may not would be Tico looked a little tired Friday night. So if you move him up, that takes one less day off of his recovery. And the
Right.
second would be Auburn's going to have to do something different, I think, because they got rained out Friday. So they
Right.
basically, their Friday and Saturday got through Saturday this past weekend, and that would be moving one of those two guys up 2 days. So I really don't know what Auburn's going to do on Thursday. So, I really don't know. I don't have an answer right now, probably what I would do. I have to think a little more. And I would think the coach staff's probably going to get with Tico throughout the week and just try to figure it
Yeah,
out
he
what
is.
he feels like. Because if he feels good, I say move him up and hope that, and if Auburn goes with a guy they normally don't go with, then you've got the upper hand for that game one.
Should be really interesting. Could see Jack Bauer's first start. I think you're absolutely right there, Brooks, that the way he's pitched these past two weekends and the way Foster has pitched, you got to make some kind of move, and it feels like Bauer's the best option. Just to give you guys a heads up, I just tweeted about it a moment ago, but when I talked to O'Connor, asked about McPherson, he said that he's throwing a bullpen this week. So I don't know what that means in terms of his availability. But I asked straight up, I was like, people have said could possibly see him against Nichols. Is that possible? And he shot that down. He said, no, we'll not pitch in the midweek. So maybe we see him this weekend, you know, in a limited role of some kind, but we shall see. Also said that Maddox Webb will be fine, and said Ben Davis, they got to wait and see how he feels, you know, with the back and all that. So as a 50-year-old man, I appreciate back tightness. I understand that that is a debilitating issue for many people, many of us out there in the world. Brooks, always appreciate you, man. And we'll definitely get you back on. We may want to do this again this week, just because with this Auburn series being so crucial, we might want to talk about it again one more time. We'll do that. We'll talk about that and we'll figure it all out. Thanks, Brooks.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks to Brooks. We're going to get up with him. Since we have a Thursday, Friday, Carlo will be in studio for WCBI, so likely will not be able to join us after the game Thursday. So Brooks and I will handle that. We'll get his thoughts post-game from game one of this series. Let's move into the interview with O'Connor now. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Some of my friends were calling you out in a group text. They're like, yeah. Young Buck thought he wanted a little less. Yeah.
It's nice to talk behind the screen, but
yeah,
they couldn't say it to my face.
Well, they don't know you, man. They don't live here in town. They're my friends. You know, I'm sure you're
clearly
friends.
They're not mine.
Well, they don't know you yet. They'll meet you. You'll meet these guys eventually. They're good people.
All right.
But they were laughing. They're like, "Oh, Carlo,
why are we starting with 40?" I mean, like, come on.
I got a great analogy that I'm going to tell you after the show. No, it's actually not really an analogy, but it's a story that fits along these lines.
Okay,
but it's a little inappropriate for
the show.
For this show,
but nice.
What's not inappropriate is Two Brothers Smoked Meats, one of my favorite places to grab a meal here in town. And I haven't been in a couple weeks, so I need to get over there. Because, you know, I love the smoked wings that I get at the ballpark, but I love the tacos. I love the prime rib sandwich. I love the pork rind nachos. They're all good. And if you want to enjoy a great meal, I can make it real easy for you. Head to the Cotton District and enjoy one at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, new laptops, call my friends at Advantage Business Systems. They're going to take care of you with a great product, but more importantly, they're going to take care of you long after the sale is made. Service after the sale is what differentiates a good business from a poor business and a good business from a great business, obviously. So if you can't deliver on that, there's no point in even trying. You always want to go to a place that you know when you call them, they're going to be there for you. That's what Advantage Business System has been providing for over 50 years. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you are in the city of Starkville this weekend and you're looking for Mississippi State gear, especially for mom, Marin & Co. is the place to go. Nobody with a bigger, better, more unique selection than my friends over at Marin & Co. Everything you're looking for, Mississippi State, maroon and white. And they got a lot of other great stuff going on over there. If you're looking for, what do they call the Otter Box? Well, that's just for your phone. What's the thing for your speakers? What is it? It's a box. It's green. What is it called?
I have no idea.
You are supposed to know these things. You're young.
I have a rope hat on. My mind.
That's what I'm saying. You should know these things.
My mind is fogged up.
Bluetooth speakers. What's the name of it?
It's something for a speaker?
Yeah, it's a Bluetooth. They have those big blue Bluetooth speakers for like your tailgate and stuff.
But why is it green?
It's green. I don't know. That's what our guy Lee Patel has out there at the left field lounge. That's where I forget the name of it. They got them at Maroon & Co. though. I can't remember the name. They have Yeti coolers at Maroon & Co. They've got everything you need for the best time at your tailgate in the left field lounge. They've got it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place to go if you have to work out in the yard this weekend. And, you know, I got to be honest, this is going to be a nice weekend for weather, I believe. These last couple weekends have been a little iffy on the weather. You're going to have to go back out there and mow the grass. It's got to be that way. Make sure you're using a John Deere mower from our friends over at Scruggs. Great financing available. Talk to their credit department. They're going to put you up with a great, great deal. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, they've got something for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. In Saltillo, they have what you want for less. I got to remember the name of that thing. It's something. It, the, the, I don't. It's bothering me that I can't remember it. It's bothering me.
I mean, I generally just have no idea what you're talking about, or I'm trying to help.
Bluetooth speaker. None of these are right either. It's just bothering me. Is it JBL? It's not JBL. I don't think that's right.
I mean, I have a JBL speaker. My brother has the big JBL speaker, but it's not green. It's black.
I don't know what it is. It's bothering me. I'll text Lee.
Somebody will tweet us.
Yeah, somebody will let me know. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber, that's the name to know and the name to trust. Mississippi State folks, so you know that you can trust them. If you are looking to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber will make that happen for you. But if you're already a landowner and you're just trying to make sure your land, your timber, you're getting the maximum profit for it while making sure everything is done sustainably, that's where Good Hope Land and Timber can really shine for you. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. You'll find out why Good Hope Land and Timber is locally trusted and landowner approved. All right. I talked to Coach Brian O'Connor earlier today. I got to be honest, coming into it, I was like, I bet he's going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never mind that they lost the series. He got tossed. He's going to be, you know, he couldn't have been in a better mood. It really threw me off, to be totally honest. I was like, he's just, we're cracking jokes. And I'm like, huh? What's going on here? So let's go down to that interview. All of our interviews here on the show brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. If you need some recovery, if you're Ben Davis, and that back is tightening up on you, brother, head over and see my friends at Allura Modern Wellness. Get you a little cryotherapy. That's what I would recommend. Get in there. It's you know, negative 500 degrees or whatever it is. It's like standing outside in Antarctica, but you feel a lot better when you come out of that cryotherapy chamber. But whatever it is you're looking to do to help your body recover, to help yourself de-stress, relax, whatever it is, Allura Modern Wellness has a service for you. Go see them today. Call them at 662-268-9255 or visit them online at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of your services right there online. Allura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Mississippi State head baseball coach Brian O'Connor. We go down to the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favorites.com and go with the home team. Coach Brian O'Connor joins us, as he has every week this season. And, Coach, I want to go back to last week in the midweek with the Governor's Cup game. You had some pretty pointed comments after that game, or just right after it. Now that you had a week to think about it, what are your thoughts on the Governor's Cup and playing Ole Miss in a non-conference game in a midweek situation?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, Brian, I was glad we played the game because I thought our guys played really well. And obviously it was a great, great crowd down there. And, you know, proud that we brought the Governor's Cup back to Starkville for President Keenum and Zach Selman. You know, it's interesting. You know, I knew that the game was always played, obviously paying attention to college baseball across the country over the years, knew that this game was played. But, you know, it's the only matchup in the country where two SEC teams play each other in the middle of the week. And that makes it unique and exciting. But obviously, you know, a lot goes into it. So, you know, it is what it is, but certainly not ideal, right, for both Ole Miss and Mississippi State. But understand it and how great it is for our fan base, Ole Miss's fan base, to play a game down in Jacksonville. And that was shown by the fans that came out to the game.
Let's look ahead in the week to the series with Texas. I want to talk about Saturday and Sunday specifically. On Saturday, another example of a guy on your team who's been on the bench for a few weeks, and Drew Wires, who comes off the bench, you give him an opportunity, and he has the big hit that wins you the ball game. Blake Beavis did this a few weeks prior. Valencius has done it a couple of times. It just seems like your guys really do have that mentality of staying ready and getting ready for that opportunity. As a coach, how satisfying is that for you?
Well, it's great because, you know, Drew Wires that day was the right guy to start for us at shortstop. And you know, obviously the big home run there. But I think it speaks to whether it's Beavis, Valencius, or Drew Wires or other guys that, you know, it shows that they're unselfish and they stay ready to go. And that's why they came to Mississippi State again. We didn't promise any of them playing time or any of that. That, you know, we construct the lineup every day that we felt would give us the best chance to win, and they stay ready. And you know, obviously rewarding and shows that a guy like Drew Weyers or Blake Beavis or whoever it might be is a consummate team player.
And then on Sunday, you know, Charlie Foster was pretty sharp those first two innings. And, you know, you've got a 5-0 lead, and it looks like things are going your way. And then it just unraveled on him. As a coach, when you go out there to get him, and you know, he's not trying to throw no strikes. He's trying his hardest out there. I feel like fans lose that sometimes. They're like, he throw a strike. Like, he's not trying to throw a strike. What is the message, though, when you're like, it's completely unraveled on this poor young man right there in front of everybody?
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, it's tough competition, Brian. You know that. It's the highest level of college baseball, right? And you know, you it the thing about it is it one of them's a 3-2 count, right? I think two of them are 3-2 counts. And he just didn't make the pitch and ended out hitting Tenney with a 3-2 breaking ball, and it was time to go to the bullpen. But what I think a lot of people don't understand, Brian, is, you know, you don't have guys in the bullpen actively throwing, planning on somebody all of a sudden starting to walk guys. You don't start getting somebody up until after they've walked a couple. Well, it takes a certain amount of time to get a pitcher ready, right? And no coach is Nostradamus and can predict everything that's going to happen, right? And so I feel fortunate we were able to get Jack Gleason ready as quick as we did, and then they obviously got to him, and he's done such a great job in that role all year long. He's kind of been the guy that we brought in when it's time to lift somebody that just has kind of lost it. And so with regards to Foster, I don't know. I can't explain it sometimes. I mean, years ago, I had a pitcher in Omaha in the National Championship Series, a left-handed pitcher against Vanderbilt in the National Championship Series that just absolutely dominated him for two innings. And then all of a sudden lost it. Like, you know, it was kind of a reversal of fortunes. Their starter walked three guys in the first inning, right? And their coach hung with them even after giving up five, right? And you know, and he did a nice job of settling down. And you know, Foster knows he's got to be better than that. And you know, it's tough, but it happens sometimes.
I don't want to get you fined here, but we're going to talk about, you know, what happened later in the game there. I'll just ask this. As a coach, are there times when you leave the dugout to talk to the umpire and you don't think you're going to get thrown out? And are there times you're going out there going, I'm about to get tossed?
Well, I don't really ever think about it that way. There's certainly times you go out and talk to the umpires about certain things that you might see or whatever that you want them to take an eye out for or whatnot. You know, I just felt like, you know, that pitch was so egregious that, you know, I obviously needed to defend our team and our player. Listen, umpires have a really tough job, right? And, you know, as it turned out, that umpire did a really high quality job on Sunday. No matter what anybody thinks when they watch a broadcast, they receive scores after games. And so sometimes it's hard to see whether a pitch is in or out or not. And you know, it's sometimes a situation that you need to defend your player, especially in that scenario, a pivotal time in the game.
I don't want to make you do the thing that I know coaches hate doing more than anything else. We're going to look ahead just a little bit. You've got your team in a spot where if they handle their business these next 2 weeks, there's going to be a Starkville regional. You're set up at a place where if you take care of the Auburn and Texas A&M, you're going to play postseason baseball here at home. How does that make you view the conference tournament?
I don't know, like Brian, I haven't even thought about the conference tournament. I think it's more about, How do we play in our last seven games, and what kind of position do you put yourself in? Then after that, then you turn your attention and look at the conference tournament. Now, I've always believed in any time you go to a conference tournament, you do whatever you have to do to try to win it because you want your team playing well and playing with positive momentum. It all depends on what's the first day you play at the conference tournament? What are you going to do pitching wise, depending on proper rest and all that? And, we'll get to that when we get there, but certainly we have seven meaningful games and everything to play right out in front of us.
So you've got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series this week. The next 2 weeks, obviously, the final week for everybody is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Does that mean you're going to make some alterations to the rotation in terms of do you want to keep Tico on Friday or do you want to move him up now? How do you plan to attack that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at how today goes and tomorrow goes. Haven't made the decision exactly what we're going to do from that standpoint. The options are thin on when you look at that, especially with a midweek game, a game tomorrow against Nichols. So we'll look at and see how those guys doing, Valinkas and Duke Stone over the next 2 days.
Well, it's time for our weekly Ryan McPherson update, but today we can add Ben Davis and Maddox Webb to the discussion. How are those three guys doing?
Maddox Webb's fine. He just got hit in the leg with the ball, and I really don't think that impacted that next batter that he pitched to that he ended up walking. Maddox Webb has pitched a lot for us recently, and so he just needs to catch his breath. But he's fine health wise. No update on Ben Davis. We'll have to see how the coming days go. With regards to his back and. McPherson's progressing well. I don't know, he's got a bullpen scheduled this week, so we'll kind of see how that goes, and it's kind of day to day. I'm hoping that he can help us out very, very soon.
So people like me, who make predictions based off of no information whatsoever, have talked about this final midweek game possibly being a spot where you could see McPherson. Is that a possibility at all?
No.
Just
No, he's not.
go.
He's not ready for that.
Okay.
So, no. Great question, though, Brian. But no, you will not see him tomorrow.
So final 2 weeks of the season, you've got your team, as I said, people like me who would put you, there would be a Starkville regional according to all the projections that people are throwing out there right now. I asked you the same question this past week coming off of a sweep. This week you lose two out of three, but you do get the, it's a 2-2 week. How do you feel about where your team is right now? And just, at this point in the season, your team kind of is what it is, but where can your team improve in these final 2 weeks?
Brian, I love our team. I mean, perspective is so important. You and I have talked about that before. I mean, here we are, like there's a lot of teams in the league that be right where Mississippi State is right now, and everything we want to do is right out in front of us. So we don't look back, we look forward, and I love our team, right? Are there things that we can improve on? Sure, we can. One would be more competitiveness with two strikes in the batter's box. We've talked a lot about that. That's important for every team, right? And that's something that we need to tighten up down the stretch run here. Our bullpen against LSU was outstanding, and wasn't quite as good this weekend. So need to get back to those guys being healthy and knowing who we can count on out of that pen down this stretch run and it's th when you play great teams, it's about capitalizing on moments, whether that be on the defensive side of the ball or in the batter's box. And so I love our team. It's just a matter of playing our best baseball at the most important time.
Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State Baseball. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, thanks, Brian. And you didn't ask about our midweek starter, and that's good because I would have told you I haven't decided
I haven't
yet.
decided yet. I just figured at this point. So I figured you would let me know if you wanted to. So thanks, Coach. We
Yeah.
appreciate you. Back on Sports Talk Mississippi in just a moment. Shockingly good mood from Brian O'Connor. And then we had a quick conversation after, and we were just joking around. I was like, Brian O'Connor off, not off the record, but like off the air where we're just talking like for a couple minutes. Couldn't be a nicer guy. It's really it's I don't know why I find it strange. I just thought he was like more intense, but like on the record, we're just talking. He's cracking jokes. It's great.
I thought he would be a little bit more intense too.
Well, and he made a good point where he's like they went 2-2 against two really good teams last week. They got two wins away from home. They did good stuff for their resume. They went up. I mean, he doesn't mention this obviously, but they went up from 15-9 in the RPI. If they handle their business the rest of the season, there will be a Starkville regional. If they do a good enough job, there probably can be a Starkville super regional. It's disappointing to lose games. You never want to lose games. O'Connor's never going to walk out there and be like, "Yeah, well, we did the best we could today." All right, it's not going to be like that, but. It goes back to what I've said a few times, Carlo, about football mentality. Like, people just get so wrapped up in each game, and there's 55 games, and you're not going to win them all. And, the fact that, what is UCLA right now? They're 42-4. Is that correct? I mean,
Something
that
like
is a
that.
huge outlier.
Yeah.
They're 42-4.
Next team is
Georgia Tech
like,
is 39-8. They've
yeah.
been really good. And then everybody else is sitting here looking at the RPI. These are the losses 3 through 15. 10, 14, 16, 9, 14, 10, 12, 12, 14, 17, 17, 11, and 11.
Yeah.
Everybody loses games, and I feel like because if you're a Mississippi State fan, you're not really probably scouring the Florida State or Southern Miss or Southern Cal message boards, right? But all fans are like this. They lose a game and it's the end of the world. But when the bigger picture is you played four games away from home and you won two of them against two teams that will be in the NCAA tournament and two teams who could host regionals. And is this team as good as I thought it was going to be? It is not. I will admit that. I thought this team would be dominant all year long. Especially, I've been surprised at the way the hitting has struggled. These past, basically since conference play's gotten. That being said, and it's kind of a weird year in the SEC in terms of hitting. Let me
They're
pull up
still
this.
one of the best hitting teams in the conference.
Well, overall hitting, they are
Wait, second?
they're second. They're hitting .306. In the conference, they are down to sixth now. They're hitting .264. But I believe last year they were higher in the conference. But their batting average wasn't that different. Like, this is just a weird year. Like, nobody's hitting in the conference. The pitching this has just really been really, really good. Only one team is hitting. No teams are hitting over 300 in conference play.
Wow.
Georgia is the closest. They're at 296. But A&M's at 273. State coming into last week, I think, was third. And then, they had a rough weekend at the plate in terms of strikeouts. Is State the worst strikeout team in the conference? They are not. They're not even close. They're down in like sixth. So.
So they're in the upper half anyway.
Yeah, so Ole Miss, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're seventh. They're seventh in the conference in
Who are the
strikeouts.
last three?
The bottom three are Vandy, South Carolina, and the Ole Miss Rebels are last. Ole Miss is a team that strikes out a ton. They strike out a
Ole Miss
ton.
is dead last?
Yeah.
Whoa. I covered them and I wouldn't have guessed that. I mean, I know they strike out a lot, but I didn't think they'd be that low.
And
They're lower than South Carolina?
that's just in conference play. Now let me look overall.
Whoa.
Overall, no, they're still last. They're last by 29 strikeouts. They're the only
Whoa.
team in the conference that have struck out more than 500 times as a team.
That is crazy. Not gonna lie. For them to be as
Well,
good as they are,
because they can
that's
pitch.
crazy.
They
Yeah,
can
they can. Yeah,
pitch.
they do have three good pitchers.
Yeah, like their hitting is not great. They're hitting as a team overall, they're hitting
They've
264.
also got two guys with almost 20 home runs, though.
They
So
do. So that
that helps for sure.
Their Ole Miss's strategy is get guys on base and we'll hit the ball out of the ballpark. They're not manufacturing a ton of runs. So,
No.
all right. Tomorrow shows the rumblings. You know what to do. Send us your questions. We'll be happy to answer them. And then, like I said, a little accelerated schedule this week because we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday baseball. So Friday's show obviously will be a recap of game one. Talk to you guys tomorrow for Carlo Barone. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.